So now Shlomo HaMelech continues in chapter 5, and the Matzudah says, this is also that which David HaMelech taught Shlomo. That means to listen to the wisdom that David taught him. Now, lechochmasi, not to the Torah. He started in 4, he said, Shinu boni musarov, musarov, the chastisement, and some say that refers to the Torah. Or even if it's David HaMelech telling him Musar. But here he's emphasizing lechochmasi. And if it goes in David HaMelech, he's saying, listen to my wisdom. Hakshiva, litfunasi, hate oznecha. Like, up to now I told you the wisdom of God, say. Now I'm telling you a little bit fatherly wisdom. Now the difference is, from chochmeh, like we said, is the knowledge, and tfunasi, hate oznecha, and that which I went further than the knowledge in understanding it, so hearken, listen to your ear. Now hakshiva is more deeper listening. Hate oznecha is only incline your ear, move your ear towards me. Because if it's something that's chochmah, so that's more or less something that has been established, that's been accepted, almost axiomatic if it's done. So there, it's very important for you to give direct concentration and to listen. I also tell you, he says, tend to turn your ear to listen a little bit to my understanding, tvunasi, that I took my chokhmah and went a little bit further. So here, you don't, it's not, if you don't want to, you don't want to, but it's not as much as hakshiva, but it's still a certain kind of a benefit for you. What is that? Lishmor mezimos. The first thing is to guard your thoughts, okay? Now you'll say, what's wrong with my thoughts? The idea is, if I have thoughts, so as long as it remains a thought, so what'll be the problem? The truth is that a person goes around with thoughts, so the fact if he's always thinking things that he shouldn't think, so there is a danger. First of all, it diminishes this person itself. And secondly, a lot of times a thought can spring out into an act. So he says, Lishmor mizimos, first guard your thoughts. And also, vidas tzvasecha, and your lips, the words that your lips speak out, yinsoru, you should guard that. Ki nefes, because there are a lot of thoughts and a lot of things, ki nefes ti teifna sifsei zora. Now, the idea is, remember in the beginning of Mishle, in the first chapter, Rashi said, there are certain sections that are compared to a immoral woman, but there is a lesson in the mashal and the nimshal. The reality, meaning immorality, but the nimshal, the person, the thing that it's supposed to really teach us is on idolatry and on foreign philosophies. So it says, guard your thoughts in not receiving these thoughts, and also guard what you speak. Ki neifes, because it like drips with honey. Sifsei zora, the lips of this strange woman. Zora meaning a strange woman, but it means the strange philosophies also are very attractive. They are very deceptive. They seem to drip honey. Vecholok mishemen chiko, and her palate is as smooth as oil. That means her speech, her ideas are appealing. The lips of a strange woman. So as I said, Rashi says this is a symbol of apostasy. The ideas are very appealing, but you can easily become enticed to follow these ideas unless you are very cautious and wary of it. V'cholok mishemen chiko. Now this is something that is a very strong idea here. People don't realize the danger of listening to very influential, articulate spokesmen who speak things that are against true Jewish belief. They always think that we're living in an age, obviously, where it is free society, and therefore I really should try to hear everything. It's not going to harm me because I already believe, and I'm just going to listen to it. It's not going to harm me. Many people have made that mistake, especially young kids when they go to college. If you would know the numbers, how many young kids get spoiled, in a sense spoiled, they'll go to yeshivas, to day schools, and they'll graduate and they'll be Orthodox Jews. Once they get into college and they're exposed to this in any community, many are ensnared. They're caught up in this because it's very attractive, it's sophisticated. And if you have a charismatic person doing the presentation, so many people are ensnared. The idea is, just like a woman, you have an immoral woman, perfumed and done up and attractive, so you just it's conducive for a person to fall into. So this is really the message here. Now, it's interesting because, what do I say in our age, there's some people who consider themselves to be modern sophistication, and therefore you've got to go ahead and expose this person to it, because that's life. Why do you have to expose them to it? What do you mean that's life? Which life are we talking about? It's also a life of immorality. You'll go ahead and you'll take your children, and you'll say, we have to expose. Why? Because that's the reality of life. There are a number of people who think that way. But most people do not go for that, because the mushel is something that they accept, and they see the decadence and the degradation and the destruction of the person's morality and so on. But when you'll speak to them about, not the mushel, about the nimshel, that's already a different story. An educator will say, our children have filters. They're able to filter what should go in and what should go out. That's absurd, you understand? And an educator should have more of a responsibility what goes into the head than what goes into the stomach. The kashrus, the treifus, all right? The treifus, of course, metamtem es alev, but the food that goes in goes out. This that goes in stays in. So this idea, and that's an extremely dangerous thing, and this is one of the points that Orthodoxy, or supposedly the different facets of Orthodoxy, find themselves at odds in this point. The traditional part still takes the teachings that you have to take literally to guard my child from guarding him from this honey and from the others. They're the more modern ones and the more that believe that know that you have to expose them. And Rabim Chalolim Ipilu, and there are many sacrifices that are brought from that. All right. Inefes titafno ve'acharisa. And what happens when you get hung up in this? Moro kelano. It's as bitter as wormwood. Chado is sharp. Kecherev piyes, like a two-sided sword. You can't get out of it. Ragleho, its legs, its feet, yordos moves, will descend to death. Sheol, and it's the pit, which is for the purgatory, that's more or less for the after death. Sheol, we say, David HaMelech says, nafshi sheola, that the spiritual pit, seodeo, its steps, Yitmechu, bolster, or hold up. Meaning that the destruction comes about both in this world and also in the next world. So the form of a wormwood and a sword is literal and figuratively, meaning literally and also figuratively. So a person has to be concerned that Agleo Yordas Mavit, Yosef said, Veleishama, we learned a few weeks on the Sedra, when he was enticed by Eishes Petifa, so it says, he didn't listen to her. Nishkevimov, Liyesimov, the Lashon. He didn't listen to sin with her, and Liyesimov to be with her in the world to come, because he saw that if he succumbs to this temptation here, so she will be like a Kelev with a Shalshelis, like a dog with a chain attached to him in the world to come. The bizoyan of that. So Ragleo Yordumovis, but it doesn't end here. Sheol Seodeho Yitmechu, it also the pit or the purgatory, Seodeho, her steps, Yitmechu, hold up or come close. So this is a lesson that a father tells a son, nothing to do with Torah mitzvahs, but has to do with life itself. Erech chayim pen tefales, lest you weigh the path of life. Now, here again, he's going back to the significance of choosing mitzvahs, of not accepting the entire package, as we say. Why? Because why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, why didn't he explain the various rewards of mitzvahs? Because if we would start that, so everybody would only want to grab the big mitzvah, which is of interest because that's the way we are. Something that's novel, that's unique. If you remember, every 20 years or something, there's Birchas HaChama, right? You make a bracha on the sun. So there are two approaches, a person, a tzaddik, to go make a bracha on the sun. But they were, last time there was Birchas HaChama, there were caravans leaving from temples, and you'd go make a blessing of the sun. They can make the same blessing, Sha'akol Niyah B'dvor, over a glass of water. The idea is it's the same, mamish, the same bracha. So the Teretz is, yeah, but this is 20 years. So the Teretz is, this person is going to effectively decide what blessing is important and what does he consider important and therefore go accordingly. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't give us any knowledge of which mitzvah is more important of the other mitzvah, like we said before, because if he would have given this knowledge, people would have forsaken certain mitzvahs and they would have wandered off. So it says, Erech Chaim, you go in the way, he didn't give you the different knowledge, because pen tefales, then you would go away. You would go away. No, I'm sorry.
Only one mitzvah.
Yeah, two. Yeah. And shalach to shalach zayim.
Nevertheless,
they
don't listen to this.
Yeah.
What is that?
They hold, they read them both together.
What is it?
Shalach to shalach zayim. They put both mitzvahs in together. You understand?
What does that mean, Rabbi? What does that mean?
He says there are two mitzvahs we find in the Torah, which, you know, where it says the compensation right next to it. What are the two mitzvahs? Kabed es avicha ves emecha, l'man yarichon yamecha, right? In order that you should live long. The Gemara tells you the case of Acher, and then there's a second mitzvah. The second mitzvah is that shalach v'shalach esayim, send away the mother bird, and then there's a bon in tikach loch, you know, if you come upon a bird and a chick, and then take the children. That's also, it says there, l'man yarichon yamecha. Those are the two mitzvahs. So these two mitzvahs, it says, l'man yarichon yamecha, send away the mother, right?
All right,
so some people, I said, interpreted, send away the mother, that's it. And then l'man yarichon yamecha. All right.
Send away the mother-in-law.
Well, the mother, whatever it is. So it says here that he didn't want to give you any reasons, because this is a medrash, a Tanchuma, Rashi quotes. So he moved away from telling you the reward of the mitzvahs, l'man yaricho yamecha. But in order that you should be able to... The other pshat is, the Metzudas David says, lest you compare, Erech Chaim pen tefales, the way of life, the wisdom of the Torah to her. All right? Erech Chaim, don't compare the wisdom of the Torah to her way of life, because her paths have wandered very far from it, so that you will not know any comparison or likeness to the wisdom of the Torah. You won't get any, no magloseho. If you weigh her way of life and you want to compare it to the wisdom of the Torah, don't try that, because there is no comparison to the wisdom of the Torah. No magloseho, that her paths have so far wandered away that therefore lo seida, there won't be any knowledge you could acquire from her that is worth anything, that's be comparable to the wisdom of the Torah. Now, others, Rashi says, Erech Chaim, pick the way of the Torah, because Pentefales, if you pick her way, you'll end up purgatory. No magloseho, her steps have gone far off to the grave, and lo seida, you won't be able to beware of anything, and you will fall into it. Ve'ato bonim shimuli, listen again, my children. Again, he repeats, Ve'altasuru me'omrei fi, don't turn away from these sayings of my mouth. Harchek me'olea darkecha, go far away from her, don't go in that street. Ve'altikra ve'alpesach beisa, and don't go up to the house. You know, some people feel that they're going to work on their own strength. They'll go in that street, and they'll walk right by it without succumbing. Or they'll go right up to the house, knock on the door, and walk away. And that way, they're testing their willpower. They're testing their inner strength. He says, that's not the way to do it. Hachek me'olea darkecha. Why? Because the end result will be, pentiten la'acherim hedecha. Your glory that was set aside for you. Every person really has certain things that he could accomplish in this world, a certain mission, glory that was given to him. But if you go in the wrong path, far away, so this glory that was supposed to go to you will be given to others. Ushneisecha, and the other years of your life that you forfeited will given leachzor. Ushneisecha leachzori, to someone who is not worthy of it, or others say to the prince of Gehenim, Rashi brings down, meaning the years of your life that you worked, instead of giving it to the Shamer of Gan Eden there, coming with your years of your life, you'll end up giving all of your work to the prince of Gehenna. Verse 11. The comparison was from an immoral woman to an idolatry, and forewarning him to desist and to stay away, because if he does succumb to this, so his end will not be a pleasant one. And it says, Vinohamto, the end will be that you will moan Be'acharisecha, when your end comes. Bechleis besorecha usheirecha, when your flesh, besorecha is your flesh, and sheirecha is your body, literally. When your flesh and your body is consumed. That's why we find the Torah word sher besoro, meaning that is like his same body. So a relative is like the same flesh of his flesh, sher besoro. Now what does this mean that when your end comes, you will moan? So Rashi says, not only will you have the punishment mentioned in the previous verses, 9 and 10, it tells you, but also your destiny. Not only will you suffer throughout your experience, but at the end, your destiny will be that when the end comes, you'll moan because of what you did. And what will you be able to say? And the Matsuda says that this goes towards the end of days when the person has to be called for judgment, will be called for judgment. What will we be able to say? So it's not only we're suffering here, but there, all we'll be able to do will be to moan. Now, the Ralbach says, very interestingly, that it refers to a person's old age. You don't really have to go to the world to come to hear this, but you could see from a person's old age how he moans, because once he is looking at something objectively, the truth is that when a person is younger, and if we say this goes in through his passion or through his arrogance, you know, a person has a, if you're dealing here with a younger man, so if you're dealing, like we said, the mushul with an immoral woman, so the idea is he's overcome by his desire and his passion, and therefore he can't really be objective. It's very subjective. Now, if you say it's dealing here with false ideas and false concepts with Aveda Zora, it also has to do with a person's youth. You know, he thinks that he's going to uncover, reveal, and there's a certain amount of arrogance that the person has, intellectual haughtiness. Yet when he gets older, he seems to lose that also. Not only does he look back, why? Because there's a certain objectivity. When you get older, you're already not subjective. You don't have the compelling factors within your being that seem to drive you to this. You lose your drive. So if you lose your drive, you could stay back and look at it objectively. And then, you know, like you have a picture of your life and you just see it. And then when it's coming, oh, not me, no, oh no, you would say, you know, they're just showing this film up either there or in your own reflection. And when this is coming about, 1983, oh, not that. And you'll start moaning and moaning and moaning. So he says, what will be at the end? At the end, the tachlis, the end will be that you'll just end up moaning. The amata, and you'll go ahead and reproach yourself. And you'll say to yourself, Eich sonesi Musar. How could it be that I hated Musar to listen to discipline? So according to the listen what the Torah told me, how did I despise so much that which the Torah told me? Now the Malbim says that the Musar means that a divine punishment. So they say, I didn't realize what the Torah told me, that there would be divine punishment. But you didn't believe in that. So Nasi, when someone would tell you, like we learn in Pirkei Avos, "Lifnei mi'ato asi litandim v'cheshbi," and it's really remarkable when you think into that. What does it mean that you're going to be called to answer a din v'cheshbi? We all believe this. We get older. We all believe it, and somehow when we come face to face with it, it doesn't really change us. So it says like Eich Sanesi Musa. How did I study all of these things and I didn't accept it? In a sense, I hated it, meaning I hated this discipline. How could I despise this kind of teaching that the Torah gave? And even if he didn't hate that, he said further, Besochachas. And again, the reproof that was given, Noatz Libi, my heart would not accept. That means he wouldn't hate the arguments of the people who tried to bring him back to the good way, but he just would not accept the logical, right, the proofs. He was contemptuous from inside. He didn't consider any value to it. That means that sometimes you're very friendly with someone else, and you'll constantly be his inner conscience. But he's not going to give up his friendship with you. He loves he's very friendly with you. What he does is, inside, you could talk all you want, and he says, look, this is a hang-up he has, his religion, his morality, it doesn't really mean anything. Remain with a friend of him, there's no hatred. But the reproof that he gives you, the reproachment that he gives you, so you go ahead and know it's libi. Inwardly, you don't even say anything outside, but inside, your heart despises this reproof. Now, you know, it says that, a person can have a lot of truths within him. We just mentioned before, Pharaoh, he saw God brought these plagues, and he contended that Hashem is right, take away the plague, and then a day later, somehow he went back to his previous conduct. So the Balei Musar speak about that. And they say, really, that's the essence of a person, when you think into it. Here he honestly believed, he had this feeling within him, which compelled him to say that this is God. Yet at the same time, he also had within him a thrust or a force that totally ignored that reality and went in a different direction. Seems the human being has so many different keches within him, all keches meaning directions and strengths, all occupying a position in his spirit. And one minute he's going here, and the next minute he could be totally committed to a contrary way than the previous approach. And when you think into it, it is so true, right? Because Yom Kippur, when we're at the last moments of Ni'ilah, honestly, most people are totally accelerated, and they call out Hashem U'Elokim, and they feel purged and cleansed and contrite and prepared to go on a different path. And that's a reality that remains. They know what they felt at that time. Yet that doesn't mean that it has driven away all other thoughts out of their mind. That thought is there, and they go with the same gusto into a different direction. So that's the complexities of a human being. So chachas noatz libi. So I'm saying we have all of this. This is so true. Eich sinesi Musar. First of all, maybe we don't have that. The discipline of the Torah, we can't really say that we necessarily, but the idea of sochachas noatz libi, we'll just listen, keep quiet, and leave it down in the heart. Velo shamati bekol moroi, and I didn't listen to my teachers who instructed me what to do and how to behave. I didn't listen to them. Velim lamdai lo yitisi ozni, and I also to my teachers who taught me and explained me, Mori Mlamdai. Mlamdai, Mori is one who may not, in a higher level, doesn't have to explain you everything in detail. But Mlamdai, those who took again and again and again, like a Melamed, Lehitisi Ozni, I wouldn't listen to my teachers. Now a child, it's interesting again, you know, when you have young people, oh, why didn't I, when they look back and they reflect on their days in school, why didn't I listen more? When they become appreciative of the Torah that they hear now, when they're already young people, and they think back at the times that they used to waste, and when the Rebbe would speak to them the same words of wisdom that they're hearing now when they're older, and they reproach themselves for frittering away those opportunities. So in a sense, this human being also, when he's getting older, right, and he heard every year the Teichacha being read in shul for many years, so he says to himself, "V'leishamati b'kol Mary, why did I do this? Kimat ha'yisi b'chol roh, b'teich kohol ve'edah. I'm holding by the door of Gehenna. Kimat, almost, ha'yisi I have been, b'chol roh, all evil. What does it mean I was almost in all evil? That refers to Gehenna. B'teich kohol ve'edah, in the congregation and the assembly. So I would say that the congregation and the assembly here, that because in the Torah we find two places. We find the idea of a congregation and an Eidah, the Kerach Ve'adoso, the idea, and we know they went into Gehenna, and then the Kahal of the Meraglim, who also ended up in Gehenna. So therefore, he likens this, Kimato Yisi B'chol Roh, I ended up almost in Gehenna, B'teich Kahal Ve'adah, with the company of the Kahal, and the company of the Meraglim, and the company of Kerach and his cohorts. So, therefore, he tells us to the contrary, Shesei Mayim Mibarecha, from the cistern that you had, drink water. Now, here he's speaking about the Torah. The Torah is the life, the water. The Torah is related to water. So, what do you have to go? Again, this is going to be learned in two fashions. What do you have to go to look at different philosophies, different religions? Shesei mayim, quench your thirst for knowledge. Drink water, mi beirecho, from your own cistern. Then nozlim, and running water, miteich beirecho, from your spring. Now the idea is, you could compare the following. The first thing is that you have to have the information. The information is water that's stored in a cistern. But then intellectual curiosity and a person's ability to comprehend and to relate things and to uncover and so on. So we'll say, well, the Torah doesn't give you that opportunity. Say you're narrow-minded, you have to just accept it, and there's no place for a person to look for revelations, to uncover things, to satisfy, to become stimulated and satisfy his probings and curiosity. So he says that's also not correct. V'nozlin, that means the water that runs away, that goes away, that flows away, miteich be'erecho, that also should be from your own source, from your be'er. So the cistern means the bore, and the be'er is the running well. Now, the idea is, develop the original ideas and interpretations, so he increases his knowledge. So a person can find the information and also the opportunity for him to study and to reveal and to uncover from his own waters. He doesn't have to go further out. And then your futsu. If you do that, yafutsu mayenesecha chutza. This is an expression that is borrowed and used often when they want to give someone a blessing, say that he should have many students or he should have many people who listen and study from him. So they always use the expression, they quote from Shlomo HaMelech, yafutsu mayenesecha chutza, the springs that you have in your own self that you have developed, so that should spread out amongst others. And the idea that you will have students, you will have disciples, like Rashi says, Birchovos Palgein Mayim, in the squares of the city, Palgein Mayim, rivulets of water, will be there, meaning that your words will not necessarily, they have to come into your well, into your habitat, in order to be able to satisfy their thirst of knowledge. But you will become so recognized that in the streets there will be like palgei mayim, like little rivulets of water, that people that don't come in direct contact with you will still be able to satisfy their thirst from your great wisdom, because it will be disseminated amongst the masses. There'll be like fountains of your wisdom which will be available to quench people's thirst. Yehiyu lecho levadecho ve'ein lezorim ito. And if you do this, so all the honor and the glory that you will get, before he said that the strangers will be satisfied with your strength. It said, pen yisbe'u zorim keichecho. If you go in this other approach, so zorim, strangers, the prophets of the Baal, and so on, who, like Rashi says, and your toil, which you were saddened and fatigued, so the only people that are going to get it is, you're not going to get anything for it. You could appreciate this with the cults. You know, they have these cults. They're able to captivate a person, and he has to write over all of his wealth and all of his, and he ends up, not only that, and he ends up what? Selling bouquets of flowers for 16 hours a day in order to give, and he thinks that in this way he's going to become a great spiritual person.
Messiah.
The end, however, is that he is not. The person that does this is just a big fool. It goes to that degree that you could have a Jones, a James Jones, and he could have 15, how many people were committed suicide that time? So I mean, so what did they get from this? You would think that you accomplished something. You committed suicide, as a form will say. You have sometimes that people burn themselves in order to make a point or something. But in this case, you could give up the very, your money, you could give up your glory, your honor, your effort, your life, for absolutely nothing at all. And the frustration of that, you know, if you would accomplish even something, you know, they tell the story of the person who was in Russia sentenced to hard labor. And what they did was, they told him for 20 years, he would walk around like with a horse with a chain, you know, and schlep a chain, and he would be grinding, they said, in the pit, you know, he had like, there would be grinding grain. So this was tedious labor that went on for years, but he suffered because at least he is doing something in his life. He's accomplishing something. Finally, after 20 years, when he was released, he said, can you just open up this pit? I want to see the mechanism there, how it goes ahead and cuts the grain that I was working and pushing my whole life. So they started laughing at him, and they said, there's nothing below there. That was just an empty pit. So the person, they say, you know, fell. He gave his whole life in just going around in a circle, thinking at least that he would, that he's doing something, that somebody will gain from it. So no, it's just like an empty pit. So the truth of the matter is, Mishlei is depicting that too. Person could go in his whole life pursuing this, pursuing that. He thinks of what? That he's accomplished something. But the truth is nothing. Mamish nothing. He gave away everything he possessed, and it was just fleeting. There was no... So here it says, here it'll be a little bit different. It says, Yihu lecho levadecho, ve'ein lezorim itoch. If you go with this water, so you will find honor, right? And no one else will share this honor. This honor will be yours itself. Now, the idea can be in Elam Haba, that in Elam Haba, whatever the person learns the Torah, so that honor that he receives there, that honor belongs only to him. Englis Zorim, strangers who have no connection to you, they are not able to share with you. You yourself will have this cover. Now it says, then he goes into Yehi Mikorcha Boruch. Your fountain, the Torah that you have learned, Mikorcha, Mikorcha means from your source, all right? Your fountain. Your fountain that you, the Torah that you have learned, Boruch, should be blessed. This is the way Rashi learns. Usmach, and you shall rejoice, Me'eshes Neorecha, with the wife of your youth. Meaning the Torah is likened to Eshes Neurim. Really, Eshes Chayel Miyimtza goes really on the Torah also. It's one of Shlomo HaMelech's Mishalim. You could take it in its literal sense, or you could take it on the Torah. That's the Moshel of Eshes Chayel. So we see that the Torah is likened to an Isha. So it says, Yehi Mikorcha Boruch, your fountain shall be blessed. Usmach Me'eshes Neurecha, you will rejoice from the Torah that you learned when you were young. Now we could picture this again. He's speaking here about the older person. Before he said the older person is frustrated and dejected in his later days and he's moaning. Why? Because he gave away the 20 years of labor in an empty pit. And other people had fun at his expense, but he didn't get anything. So therefore, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take these years and go with full cisterns. Then when you get older, you really won't moan anymore. Why? Because Yehi Mikorcha Boruch, the source of the Torah that you learned in your youth, Rashi says, that will be to you for a blessing. Usmach, and it will give you joy. Me'eshes Neurecha. Other times when a person gets older, he reaches a level that he perhaps doesn't have them, he doesn't remember that well. It's interesting because what we do remember is the Torah that we learned. Not a person, as he gets older, gains greater understanding. The Bina, the understanding is vastly superior to that when he was a younger person. Depth of the knowledge, but the memory is not the same. You can't remember a daf that well, a page of the Gemara. You can't remember a daf. I remember when I was a student in yeshiva, I must have been then about 15, and my Rebbe would give a shir, very deep shir, and then he would want to quote a Gemara, you know, and speaking the Gemara, and he was good at dafim, and I would just tell him, and this daf, and to me it would always puzzle me, you know, how could I remember this and this page, or this and this daf? He knew the Gemara, but what page was it on? And I see as I get older, I'll remember the dafim I learned when I was 10, 11 years old. Tell you, it's a 40. But that you learned a week ago, what daf is it, what page is it, that you don't remember. That seems how the human mind works. So therefore, in a sense, Yehi Mikorcha Boruch, Usmach Beishes Nerecha, everything that you can chaperein by using your youth to its fullest potential in gaining, we'll say, the knowledge that you will recall later, you're using God that day, so that has the blessing and the, you know, and the accomplishment that you could have. Then it says in verse 19, Ayeles Ahovim, again, according to Rashi, we'll learn an alternate pshat, but according to Rashi, it's speaking about the Torah. The Torah meaning, Ayeles Ahovim Veyalas Chein Dadeo Yeravucho. That means it's like a lovely Ahovim, is lovely. Ayeles is like a hind, an animal, a lovely animal, viyalas chein, and also like the grace of a mountain goat. Did you ever see a mountain goat? It's beautiful, yeah. How they have grace. I once, years ago, was going down to Ein Gedi, and there they have these mountains near Ein Gedi, and you see these mountain goats. It's a certain very beautiful and impressive. So he says the Torah has also ayeles ahovim, the love of to a hind, v'yalas chein dadeho, like the breast yiravucha, will satisfy you b'chol eis at all times. Whenever you want to find satisfaction, right, b'chol eis, you could always turn to Torah, and Torah can provide you satisfaction at all times. Be'ahavaso, with its love, tiske tomid. Tiske means the two ways to study. To learn tiske means you'll always be involved. 11, 12, all right. You'll always be involved and in what? In its love. You could become like totally absorbed, or like he says, intoxicated in the love of the Torah. A person that's intoxicated, so he's not aware of anything else except that which he's involved in. So the love of the Torah can provide you all of these pleasures. It can provide you the ayelas ahovim, the love of a hind, like, and ayelas chayim. It can satisfy your thirst. This is the nimshol, according to Rashi. We're not speaking about a woman. We're speaking about Torah, knowledge, and so forth. But the Mitzudis learns differently, because the Mitzudis is learning through this. As we said, there were two interpretations and two messages, one speaking about the morality of a person, not to get immoral. The other aspect, we says, was the knowledge of Torah and so on. The Mitzudis goes in with morality. So therefore, he says the following. According to the Mitzudis, Shesei Mayim, drink water, mi beirech. Now, that means you shouldn't have to do with any strange women, but he compares it like your relationship should be only with your wife. A person should be moral, Shesei Mayim, mi beirech, only with your wife. And Vinozlim is poetic use of the same idea, Vinozlim and Mitech Be'erecha, that you shouldn't be involved intimately with any strange woman. That's how he says. Yofutsu Mayenoi Secho Chutzor. If you do that, you will have children who will come from you, and they will be outwardly recognizable that these are your children. You will be able to pride yourself on these children that you will have from your wife, and your children will bring honor and glory to you. Birchovos palge mayim. You will be zoche to have children who are accomplishing or satisfying the thirst and so on. Then it says, Yilecho levadecho. These children that you will have, you will know for sure that they're your children. And you will have the covet from your children, but ve'ein lezarim itoch, and no one else will be able to have part of these children. Meaning if you were involved with an immoral woman, so then there is a question to the paternity of these children. So therefore, really, you don't know if you have children or not. This way, you'll have children that you'll be able to be proud of, and they'll be your children. On the other hand, if the other way around, so then you can't be assured that the offspring are your offspring. Then the Mitzudas continues, your wife will be blessed and dear in your eyes. Mikocha Boruch. If you're a moral person, you will consider your wife to be a blessing for you. Usmach, and you will rejoice and find satisfaction and happiness. Me'eshes Neurecha, from your wife of your youth. That means you won't go looking at other women and getting involved in other women. Then he continues, you will find all satisfaction. Ayeles ahovim ve'yalas chayim. She will be in your eyes like a lovely hind, he says, in the eyes of her mate. So it's saying that you will find this ayeles ahovim ve'yalas chayim, and she will be very desirable. She will like bring out chayim. She will like call out grace for herself in your eyes. Tadeo yiravucha. It means like she will provide you with enough satisfaction. Bechol eis. Be'av asa. And you will always be tizket tamid, intoxicated with her love. Ve'loma tizke b'ni bezora. Why should you, my son, go out and become involved? And again, tisker, the Mitzudah says tisker not from intoxication like Rashi, but tisker meaning from shoger, from sin. Why should you sin, my son, bizoror, with a strange woman, uschabek, and to embrace Chek Nochriyah, of a alien one. Now, this is very interesting. See that Rashi went through these verses speaking about idolatry, and the Metzudas is taking it in morality. And they both have a very close association, because the person supposedly is looking to find exhilaration, to find gratification, and therefore, you know, he has to go and look for new things. I mean, the Torah itself, which can provide him, according to Rashi, with the source of happiness and joy under all circumstances, at all time. It could also provide him the pleasure of we'll say, his own intellectual development that he could achieve. So the Torah can provide all of that. Yet there is this force in man, somehow, that seeks to look for new things, because a person doesn't realize, you know, peaks and valleys. You think that the peaks are always attractive, right? You always get a high. But the idea is, the healthiest way, you know, is if the high goes straight. If your cardiogram goes straight in a nice, narrow way, the way it's supposed to come. Person can't always be living in these high exalted moments. And that's the problem of our society. Children, we're bringing them up to give them a toy every 5 minutes, so they'll get on a smile, and therefore what happens? You bring about boredom. I mean, they're bored, because life has to be totally moments of where you get a high and you get gratification, and therefore just going along the plain highway of life doesn't really give them any satisfaction. You have to have a high. And the same thing is, you know, a married couple and so on, he doesn't get his gratification. It says that's not true. It's only because of this Yetzer Hara. Because even what you would think you would get from a strange woman, Ayeles Ahovim, the Yalas Chein, the Ayeles Ahovim meaning this lovely hind that supposedly is something that's attractive to you, and this is new, and that's not true. You really have that if you would get this thought out of your mind. And that's what the Metzudas presents, which really Shlomo HaMelech, on both levels, is speaking directly to the human being, what he has within him. Now he goes further. Kinochach Einei Hashem Darkeish. The bottom line is that you have to remember that opposite Hashem's eye, Hashem is always scrutinizing man, and he always is aware of the level of man. Neichach Einei Hashem Darcheish. The ways of man are opposite God's eyes. V'chol Maglosov Mifaleis. And all of his paths, all the directions and all the different ways that the person travels, Yifaleis, he weighs all his paths. Avinesov Yilkeduno Esorosha. Therefore, the fact is that you should also remember, since Hashem is always weighing and he's aware of whatever you do, so the sins of the Rosha himself will trap him. Uvechavle chatose yitomech, and he'll be held up by the ropes chatoso of his sin. It's like when you hang somebody. So the person that's hanging, so the ropes that took his life, in a sense, they remain with him after it took his life. He's hung up by those. So it's saying, like, by the sins that you get, you'll be punished by the sins, but the sins will always be holding you. V'chavle chatose yitomeich. Hu yamus be'ein musor. When he dies, he'll die without discipline, meaning because he wouldn't accept discipline. Ubero vivalto, and because all of his foolishness, yisker, he will err. That means, ubero vivalto, he will err because he's extremely foolish. Because the fact is that the person would have a little bit of seichel, he wouldn't have committed these chatoyim. All right, so this is the end of chapter 5. The verses that are emphasized, you know, and that we borrow from this are a few phrases that are quite common in rabbinic literature. It says, Eich sonesi musor is used, and shisei mayim Miborecha is used. Yafutsu mayenasecha chutzav, quite common. And the first part of verse 18, Yehi mekocha boruch is used. And these words of ayelas ahovim v'yalas chein is used. So these are some phrases that are oft quoted, taken out of Mishlev. If you notice as we've gone along, certain phrases we've taken out and used in various places.